from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, Brock Purdy should probably be offended. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to have you on this Tuesday. I think Brock Purdy has a right to be offended here, Perloff. You know, I've not exactly been a Purdy defender. I was very much on the Christian McCaffrey is the MVP of the team, blah, blah, blah. But there was a list that came out, a well-reported list of NFL executives and powerful people who rank their top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL going into 2024. And Brock Purdy is not on the list. Now, he did get an honorable mention, but that's a little like, flipping the guy a quarter, like, hey, thanks for the effort. I mean, that is in itself, I think, a bit of a, it's a snub, quite frankly, him not being a top 10 quarterback after he was just a couple plays from the Super Bowl. He should feel a way about this. However, I think there's something about him not being considered a top 10 quarterback by a lot of these NFL, decision makers that actually is going to be something that rears its ugly head as we continue to move on with the season. Can I tell you what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, so here's what I'm talking about. You have this list of the top 10 quarterbacks as compiled by ESPN with all these front office people and coaches and stuff like that who give their opinion. And 7 out of the 10 are in the AFC.
Right.
The NFC quarterbacks that made the list are Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, and Jared Goff. Everyone else is an AFC quarterback. So for the San Francisco 49ers and for Brock Purdy specifically, getting to the Super Bowl, which is the only goal now for the 49ers. I don't want to hear anything about the divisional round or about the conference championship or whatever. You are Super Bowl or bust. I can't even think of another team that's as Super Bowl or bust as this 49er team. What this list is essentially telling you, and something I do agree with about this list, is that when Purdy gets, if he gets to the Super Bowl again, he will be matched up against someone who on paper is a better quarterback than him. By virtue of all the quarterback talent in the AFC, this is what's going to happen. Every time he gets to the end of Mike Tyson's punch out, Mike Tyson's going to be there. He's not going to get an easy walkover. So in the biggest game, when it matters the most, he will, it feels like, will be on paper the inferior quarterback.
There are so many problems with that theory. I don't even know where to start. First of all, this is, they polled the entire league, right? We know as a fact that at least 20 executives in the NFL are idiots. So if they had polled the top 5 executives who are in the deep in the playoffs every year, they might have had a completely different version of Purdy. I mean, you realize, like, the Cardinals, like, all the bad executives are in this list. So the list, obviously, we know what it is. Second of all, Brock Purdy might be on this list, but he's clearly good enough to win a Super Bowl. Third of all, this is classic misjudging a quarterback because of their height. I mean, these guys are GMs. Of course, they look at Justin Herbert 6'5", and Brock Purdy's 5'11". Who are you going to put higher on the list? But the real flaw of this, you're always doing this because you're trying to defend your guy, Josh Allen. Like, this is just, that's not a reality.
This has nothing to do with Josh Allen.
Like, there's not, the AFC is not going, if it wasn't for the Chiefs, the NFC would be just right there. Like, there's no way, like, the AFC gets all the hype, but there's no way that the AFC, this ring of quarterbacks in the AFC is going to dominate the NFC. The NFC is clearly already in 1 year caught up.
Okay.
The NFC had a Caleb Williams, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy. Like, they have all a bunch of young quarterbacks, too. That imbalance is way overrated.
I'm not talking about on aggregate. I'm not talking about regular season. I'm talking about for the 49ers, there is nothing but Super Bowl left.
Yeah.
I don't care about the regular season.
But you were implying that it's easier to get out of the NFC because there are three elite quarterbacks.
No. What I'm saying is the 49ers have to get to the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
This is the only standard that they're being judged on.
Right.
And if they do get back, when they do get back, because they are a great team, they will always be facing an AFC team. We're not changing up the format of how we decide the Super Bowl.
Right.
So Purdy will always be facing somebody who, at least on paper, is a better quarterback than him. Better traits, better everything. And I'm not talking about height, and I'm certainly not talking about Josh Allen. I'm talking about this quote that came from this list. From an NFC executive. You're not going to win a game because of him, meaning Purdy, in most cases. He's a really good system quarterback. Boom. That's it. And so, again, if you get to the Super Bowl, who are you facing? Mahomes, Burrow, CJ Stroud, whoever you want to put on there who you think's coming out of the AFC will be a better quarterback on paper than Brock Purdy. That's what I'm saying. And so it's not this hypothetical, theoretical, it's all about his height. No, it's about how are you going to actually get over the hump and win this damn Super Bowl?
Brock Purdy could beat any of those guys, definitely.
And well,
He'd be favored against, he didn't, but this is a predictive list. It's not like, we all know who won the last Super Bowl. There's no insight into that. But that doesn't mean Brock Purdy ain't going to win the next one. Like, you think, like, Brock Purdy going to get scared of CJ Stroud or even Joe Burrow? Like, San Francisco would be definitely favored against all those teams. I think they'd be super confident. Kansas City's a problem. I admit Mahomes and Kansas City's a problem. There's nobody else who scares Brock Purdy on that list.
Listen, it always is going to come down to when you're talking about the highest level, unless your Super Bowl happens to be a blowout or something like that. If we get again what we got last year, which is a game that's low scoring, that is coming down to the wire, where every little mistake and every success is magnified, you have to ask yourself, and I think this is the big question for 49er fans, is Brock Purdy going to be the guy who elevates you? Because again, in these moments when you're talking about Super Bowl on the line, the system's only going to get you so far. At that point, it has to be about doing something spectacular. And that's where you have to get to with Purdy. He's got to be the guy who does something spectacular when he's going up against an AFC quarterback who is, again, going to have better traits than him or whatever, is going to on paper be the better quarterback, or like Mahomes in real life be the better quarterback.
So
not just traits, not just hypothetical.
I don't understand, like, Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay, his offensive line had injuries and there was nothing he was going to do. Shaq Barrett just, like, ate him for lunch. I don't understand, like, Patrick Mahomes couldn't do anything in that situation.
But that wasn't the deal with Purdy this year. His offensive line was fine.
His offensive line was good, but
his skill position players were all out there.
He did nothing wrong in the Super Bowl, but his offensive lineman missed Chris Jones. And if you watch the play, like, basically says, hi, Chris Jones starts running after him. There's no way. The receiver can't even get into his route. And he throws a fade that is impossible to do. Like, there's nothing Brock, there's zero that any, Patrick Mahomes, combined with the other 10 quarterbacks on that list, could not have made that play. So Purdy's clearly, I mean, they lost 25-22 in overtime in the Super Bowl. He's clearly good enough to get there. He was at the brink. There was two plays, both of which were not on him at all. He's definitely good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Here's the thing. It's never going to be perfect. And you bring up the Super Bowl that Mahomes lost because his offensive line was all banged up and Tampa Bay and Tom Brady were better that day. But how about the one he won against your Philadelphia Eagles on one leg? At some point, you can give me the one he lost. I'll give you the one he won when he was doing something superhuman. It's never going to be perfect. And at some point, the quarterback actually has to make up for that. That's it. That's the deal.
So what did Mahomes even do in the Super Bowl? They didn't really have a great offensive game.
What are you talking about? Oh,
like the Chiefs. Yeah, like the Chiefs, they won the AFC title game 17-10, and then they won 25-22 in overtime. They scored 19 points in the regular game. It wasn't like, I don't even think, like, what's the story of the Chiefs last year? Definitely not Mahomes.
Okay, well, let's just talk about the Super Bowl, because that's what we're judging these guys on. I ask you this question. Take yourself back to Las Vegas last year. The game's tied 16-16, or no, I'm sorry.
19-19.
San Francisco had taken the lead 19-16, and they gave the ball back to Mahomes with a minute and 20 of what left, or whatever it was. We all know what was happening.
Yeah, but Purdy would have also drove him down in that situation. Purdy definitely would have got a field goal.
I don't know.
Definitely.
Okay, he got the ball in overtime first, and they didn't score.
Yeah, he got down to, like, the 8-yard line or something, and yeah, it was real close. It was a bang-bang thing that could have gone either way. Same with Jalen Hurts. You can't say that Jalen Hurts didn't play well enough to win that Super Bowl. He was awesome 2 years ago. He outplayed Mahomes.
I'm telling you, these moments, that's what it comes down to. I'm not talking about a team that's going from worst to first. I'm not talking about a team that's just happy to be here. I'm talking about a San Francisco team that is right here on the brink, on the precipice. And we're talking about this top 10 list that Brock Purdy got left off of from NFL executives or whatever. He was honorable mention. He's always going to, when you get to the end, when you get to that game in that Super Bowl, he's always going to be the lesser quarterback on paper. And that's just, I would say, like, the fact of it. It doesn't mean he won't ever win. I'm just telling you what's happening, what this list is outlining.
Well, first of all, I don't totally agree with that. But second of all, if that's, like, your logic, then why do we even play a game? Mahomes is going to win the next 7 Super Bowls. Because he's always going to be the superior player. Well, that's the thing. Like, I kind of don't think this can happen. I mean, how many bounces are the Chiefs going to get? These are two very narrow Super Bowl wins, and no one's ever won 3 in a row. It'd be shocking because the league is so close now. Honestly, I think someone's going to beat Mahomes, either in the AFC or the NFC. And whatever you say about this list, Brock Purdy's obviously good enough to win a Super Bowl. Don't you don't think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl?
It's not that.
Answer that question.
He can definitely win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course.
But here's what I'm saying. Yeah. This is what they're going to continually run into. And he hasn't won one yet. And I know he's super young in his career, and so we have a long time here. But, you know, things in the NFL, you're never exactly sure how it's going to go. And seasons that start out really promising have a way of going off the rails. What I'm saying is that this list, while Brock Purdy may feel like he is snubbed from this list, the reality that this list shows is that the AFC still has tons of great quarterbacks. Yeah. And ultimately, he will be facing one in the Super Bowl that's going to be quote-unquote better than him, whether it's Mahomes or whether it's Burrow. I'm not even bringing Josh Allen into this. Josh Allen has not had the success that Brock Purdy has had, so he doesn't get to be in this list.
Right, like, he wouldn't be scared. If you had Brock Purdy on one side and Josh Allen on the other, like, the Niners aren't going to be like,
that's what we're talking about. I'm talking about Mahomes, Burrow, CJ Stroud, Lamar Jackson. Mm. The AFC is not just Josh Allen. You bring him up because I'm a Bills fan.
He's definitely who are the other? He's definitely not afraid of Lamar Jackson because Lamar has not come up big in the playoffs. So that's another one. And what's the other one?
On paper.
CJ Stroud, like, there's no way. Like, yeah, but this is, first of all, on paper, like I said, this is a flawed list because they're going on traits that are the wrong traits probably. But the Niners are definitely not afraid of CJ Stroud. I mean, that's an unknown. So we won't even talk about him. Lamar Jackson, you think the Niners going against the Ravens would be like, oh, we're so scared that Brock Purdy's inferior to Lamar Jackson? Lamar's done won anything.
I'm just saying, neither is Purdy. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, but Purdy's been a much better playoff quarterback, right?
Listen, Lamar was really bad in the AFC Championship game. You and I will disagree. You actually think he played well. I didn't think he played well in the AFC Championship game. I think they blew it. But anyway, that's getting off the track.
Right,
the conversation is Purdy right now. And do you agree that this is going to be an issue for the 49ers? I do think it will be an issue.
Who is, like, I don't understand. You said Mahomes and Burrow, but after that, I can't imagine who you're really scared of having Purdy against. And even Mahomes, if I'm the Chiefs and I'm looking at who I'm going to play in the Super Bowl next year, I want no part of San Francisco, right? Because that offense is, you know, if they stay healthy on the field, that's a brutal team to face. If they keep everything going right now, it's like, oh my God, there's so many weapons. And Purdy's really good. And he didn't get nervous in the Super Bowl. He played fine. Like, that's the thing. Like, he could have choked in the Super Bowl. He's a 23-year-old kid.
What are we doing? I mean, you're talking about, thankfully, he didn't choke in the Super Bowl. I mean, this is a guy who has the hopes and dreams of an entire fan base now on his right arm. You can't just be good. You have to be amazing.
That's absolutely. I read that
list. At the Super Bowl, you have to be amazing.
I read this list and where Purdy was. I'm like, oh, man, there's probably 13 quarterbacks who could win the Super Bowl next year. This is definitely not like you have to have the best quarterback to win. the honorable mentions were Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts. Like, I know Jalen Hurts is good enough to win the Super Bowl because I saw it.
Yeah.
I know Brock Purdy's right there. Like, man, a lot of these guys could win. I don't think that this is like you decide, Rabbit, the better on paper quarterback gives you a big advantage. I don't know. I'm not sure it's as big an advantage as you think, because if that was the case, Mahomes would win every Super Bowl 31-15.
I got to be honest. He's kind of winning every Super Bowl. Whatever the final score is, Brady had a lot of close Super Bowls too, and we don't talk about that when we talk about him being the greatest of all time.
But the margin is so close. The way Mahomes played and Hurts played was so close. The way actually Mahomes and Purdy played, so close.
Then what was the difference? I mean...
The difference was, honestly, Lakin coaching.
It was quarterback play. It was quarterback.
Really?
Yes.
Don't think it was Shanahan's late game coaching against the Chiefs?
I think that played into it. And I think Mahomes was the superior quarterback, and he was leading the superior drive.
That's so funny. I didn't read that game. And what was the difference in the Eagles-Chiefs game? You think it was quarterback?
Eagles-Chiefs. I mean, ultimately, it was... I mean, Mahomes was on one leg and still beat you guys. And that was a shootout, and he was hurt. That is... unreal. And like, if he's any less than what he is that day, Mahomes, he had to be totally brilliant. If he's any less than that, your Eagles win.
Yeah, I felt
and
like,
also James Bradbury pass interference.
I think the problem was, see, that game, like, yes, Mahomes was amazing, of course, but he didn't outplay Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts,
he was half the player. That's the thing. That's Jalen Hurts playing as good as he can play, and that's Patrick Mahomes with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, the problem was,
that's amazing for Mahomes. Like, you almost have to grade it on a curve.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts doesn't fumble that ball. It's a different game altogether. I don't know. I didn't see that as like one quarterback for the other. Honestly, there was a lot of problems with the Eagles defense that game.
They
couldn't rush the passer for a certain reason.
Okay, let's stick on Purdy. Let's not get sidetracked.
So what's the call to action?
I think
here?
The question is, do you believe that Purdy can win the Super Bowl? Because he's always going to be at the disadvantage when it comes to meeting an AFC team in the big game, and the AFC team is going to have the better QB.
Oh, man. Okay.
That's the reality. I had no lies detected. I'm not lying to you.
How many teams would they realistically be underdogs against the Super Bowl? Maybe one.
But that is a whole bunch of things go into that.
They're going to be favored against every AFC team except one.
It was a
15. They're definitely favored. There's not a single. I can't see a team that's going to be favored over the Niners. So they're going to go in the favorites with Brock Purdy.
It was the biggest. I cannot explain Vegas. Sometimes I don't understand what they're doing. I didn't understand why the Chiefs were the underdog in the Super Bowl, and everyone jumped on the Chiefs, including me, and we all made money off of it.
So, I don't know. That was a really close game. I think you're underestimating what's going to happen moving forward. You think the Chiefs are going to just win forever?
Here's the thing. Close games, of course. I'm talking about winning it. San Francisco fans don't want to hear about close anymore. They don't. That's almost like trolling them. They've got to get this thing and get it.
Yeah,
complete the mission. I mean, this is it. That's all that's left. They've done everything else.
I definitely think. Listen, I went through this Philly. Kyle Shanahan's going to win a Super Bowl. It might. I don't know if it's going to be this year. It's that they can get through healthy, they will beat most of these teams in the AFC.
They were healthy last year. They lost Dre Greenlaw in the game. It's never going to be perfect though. They had a healthy quarterback, healthy skill position players, healthy offensive line. I don't know what else you want to happen. Mm. It's never going to be like absolutely perfect when it comes to
they
health.
I think three injuries. I think there was an O-lineman who went down. That was a big problem. That's why they missed the block I mentioned with Chris Jones, because they had a backup in who just went the exact wrong direction. Chris Jones ran in straight at, and they I think Debo got hurt. I think we saw that in the receiver thing. And everybody got banged up, but Dre Greenlaw and I'm sorry, I keep forgetting which lineman. One of the linemen went out. That was a huge deal. I would say if they're healthy, they're favored against all these teams. So if you're favored, you can win the Super Bowl. Well, honestly, the Chiefs are the only team that is probably going to be a real challenge. The Niners are going to steamroll somebody at some point. It's going to happen. They're that good.
855-212-4227. Okay, so there you go. We're talking about Brock Purdy. Did not make this list of top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think there's... the reality of this is that, again, when it's Super Bowl time and winning time, he's always going to be facing an AFC quarterback who on paper is a lot better than him, or just better traits and all of that stuff. He is a system guy. So are you ever going to be able to elevate in those biggest moments? I'm not talking about just having a great regular season and all that.
By the way, like
Dak Prescott's on the list and not him.
Yeah, the on-paper thing is obviously silly, because Brock Purdy's not a worse quarterback than all these guys. Yes, there's some traits that he has, but Justin Herbert is really... In what way is he better than Brock Purdy? Like, yeah, he could throw that 30-yard out, but like that doesn't mean anything, right? Like, the you know, the real important things for a quarterback are decision-making, mobility. Like, there's a lot of things that Brock Purdy can do that a lot of those quarterbacks ahead of him make. He makes better decisions than a lot of those guys ahead of him. Don't you think? Do you honestly think that Justin Herbert is a better decision maker than Brock Purdy?
I've seen Justin Herbert in like with competent enough a team, big enough game, big enough moment yet. And I think that he has a lot more to do with, like, he's a lot more good than bad.
Yeah. And also, even though you got Josh Allen, like, who's number three on the list, like, he has some untimely interceptions.
And the quote that was about Josh Allen is that he's overrated. So listen, I'm just telling you. We're talking about Brock Purdy. We know we got a lot of fans in the Bay Area listening here. 855-212-4227. What do you think about Purdy? Top 10 quarterback? Agree? Disagree? Let us know. We are also live on YouTube. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And we've got a packed show for you. We've got an update on how it was put to me, Perloff, is a lot of smoke. Where there's a lot of smoke, a lot of fire. That's how it was put to me this morning about one NFL wide receiver. So we'll get to that in a minute. It's Maggie and Perloff on Infinity Sports Network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, Maggie, you teased a player that might be on the move. I think it's a very unusual story because usually there aren't a lot of August, September trades unless a guy will not report to camp at all. But there is one that seems to be in the ether.
Yeah, so this is our pal Boomer Esiason, who works down the hall, former league MVP, of course, and he had a report yesterday that was sort of, hey, when there's smoke, there's fire about all this Davante Adams stuff, and kind of underscoring the like Jets' interest here, maybe beyond just Aaron Rodgers. You know, saying at a golf tournament, I'd like to play with my former teammate again. And that there's just, so, how Boomer put it, just feels like there's a little too much smoke for there not to be fire. And there's also, I think, and this is me editorializing, a lot of desperation here on the Jets side of this, because Rodgers put it out there publicly, if they don't win this year, everybody's getting fired. So with that in mind, you know, the Raiders could end up being in a good spot here if they do want to move on from Davante Adams, or if they're okay with a rebuild or whatever, they could end up getting an extra first round pick, maybe 2 seconds. I mean, you know, I don't think the Raiders are going anywhere. And so, you know, they need a quarterback, obviously. Like, this could really end up, I don't know, being really good for them, because wouldn't you bet on the Jets' volatility? Like, I would, if I'm the Raiders, I would gladly give you Davante for a couple picks and then maybe hope and pray that the Jets' season goes off the rails and those picks come, you know, are pretty high.
Yeah, see, I don't think, because of that reason, I don't think the Jets would give up a first round pick for Davante Adams under any circumstance. That'd be kind of a malpractice, right? Like, because say that Rodgers got hurt again, coming off an Achilles, 40 years old, and they win 7 games. Like, they're not going to give up the number 10 pick for a 32-year-old wide receiver that they have to pay.
Okay,
that'd be nuts.
Well, two things. One, you may underestimate how desperate the Jets are and how much influence Aaron Rodgers has. Like, they've already, you know, they basically signed a lot of his friends from Green Bay, and I think, and hired the offensive coordinator that he likes. I think he has a lot of pull in the building, yeah. So I wouldn't discount that. And I think that this is a team where, or a front office, pardon me, where if you think you're getting fired anyway, if the season goes off the rails, what do you care about future second round picks or first round picks? You're not going to be around to make a decision on any of that stuff.
Well, true, but the owner can't let them trade away, because if Rodgers gets hurt again, then that could be the quarterback pick. You can't give that away for a guy who's not really going to, I mean, there's not much left of Davante Adams. You saw the documentary Receiver, like, that guy's being glued together and he's just old. So it'd be, yes, you're right. Desperation could cause a bad move here, but that would be just nuts. Because Davante Adams 3 years ago went for only a 20s pick. Tyreek Hill went for the 23rd pick, and that was in their prime.
Right.
To do a first round pick that could be a top 10 pick, that would be one of the wildest trades I've ever seen. The question, I think, if you're the Raiders, would you do it for a second? And I don't know if you're the Raiders. Also, too, if the Jets want him, then obviously, hey, we're open for business. Maybe a team that's more guaranteed to be in the second half of the first round, be a contender, right? Like Baltimore or somebody might say, like, you know, the 25th pick. Because I think Baltimore could trade for Davante Adams because they're not terrified that's going to be a top five pick. Where the Jets would be like, ew.
I think there is, like, think about the all-in teams. And I think the Jets just really are the top of the list there, or the tip of the iceberg, however you want to say it. And so, like, there's no more all-in team than them. And
wow.
So I think they would just say cost of doing business to maybe put us over the top.
Well, Jerry was all in.
That was a joke, it turned out. That wasn't real.
Well, he said he was all in.
Yeah, that's right. No, the Jets don't say they're all in. I think it's just, it's presumed.
How about the Bills? Do they have any cap space to do this? By the way, where the Jets have the cap space, I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a little gymnastics they can do here with his dead cap hit going down. I wouldn't want to bore the audience with it, but they can make it work.
I'm looking at contenders, yeah. I mean, the Chiefs don't want to pay receiver. It's interesting, like, the all-in teams, maybe they wait for an injury, too.
Raiders cannot trade with the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, people do that. The NFC East teams trade with each other all the time. Yeah, you're right. But if the Raiders, if they get rid of Davante Adams, that's full rebuild, right? I would do it. If the Jets call with the first round pick, I do not think that's going to happen. I mean, it's such a radical move. Like, imagine giving the number 3 pick for a player who's probably not going to be on your roster in 2 years. That's, you know, I'm saying, like,
do you think the Jets are a smart organization? Do they strike you as a smart organization?
I think Joe Douglas is a smart GM. Yeah, I think he knows what he's doing for sure. I mean, he did. Yeah, his draft picks are really good. Like, I remember he came from Baltimore and Philly. Like, he was under Ozzie Newsome forever, for 2 decades. Yeah, I don't think he's the dumbest GM by far.
I don't think he's the dumbest GM, but I don't know if he's the one who's ultimately making the decision. You have a star bleeper owner over there who...
Yeah, but the owner, I mean, like, that's the one guy. If he trades his first-round pick, knowing that he's about to fire the GM and the coach, that's crazy.
This is not a well-thought-out organization here. 855-212-4227. I think this is going to end up really working well for the Raiders if they decide to part with Davante Adams. Peter Schwartz is in with us for
updates.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. This just broke a couple seconds ago. after England lost to Spain 2-1 in the Euro Championship the other day. England has let go of, or Gareth Southgate, the head coach, has left his role as manager of the English national team. So you knew there would be consequences if England lost that game on Sunday, which is what happened.
Wait, why? I didn't
know.
Can
the U.S. hire him for the World Cup?
But wait, England was a big underdog. Why would that get him fired?
Well, because there's pressure on the English soccer coach to win. So he got fired.
So listen, when's the last time they won? They never win.
I know, but there's still pressure to win, so he's gone.
Honestly, this could be good for the U.S., don't we? We need a coach, our national team.
He kind of looks like Michael Phelps a little bit, the head coach of England.
Michael Phelps?
Yeah.
Hmm. I see something else, but yeah.
What else do you see?
I gotta think. Maybe Ryan Gosling or something?
Oh, maybe, yeah. Yeah, and I knew something struck me about it.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Let's get the baseball. Dodgers center fielder Teoscar Hernandez won the home run derby last night in Arlington.
People maybe underestimate myself, and you can see it at the end when Will was hitting all those homers. Everybody was cheering for him, but I'm here, and I'm as talented as all those guys over there. They might be younger, but same talent.
Hernandez beat Royal shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. in the final 14-13 as Witt's last hit came just a little bit short going out.
That was, first of all, the home run derby that would not end.
Oh,
it was
God,
a week long. I don't know, still going on, I think. It was, like, brutal. But then the last 45 seconds were, like, high drama where Bobby Witt is trying to, you know, tie him. And he's got, like, one bonus ball left or whatever. And he comes up literally, like, 5 feet short.
Yeah. There's got to be a format they can figure out to speed this up. I mean, you look at... Like the NBA's got the 3-point shootout and all that, and it seems to move at a much faster pace.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go off the NBA. Their All-Star Weekend.
Well, the
stinks.
Hockey one too. It moves. I mean, they're from one guy right to the next. It just seems like they try to figure out how to do this, and they keep making it worse.
Why'd they cut out a minute? Just like simple, because it does feel like the batters are all exhausted by that. Actually, I was happy my guy Alec Bohm on the Phillies was out. I'm like, this dude doesn't need to take 150 more swings.
How about just pick the best four home run hitters in baseball and do that?
And just have one round, you're saying?
Have two, one versus four, two versus three. Take the four best home run hitters in baseball at the time of the All-Star game.
Peter, you know why that can't happen.
I understand.
There's ads to sell. There's hours to fill
also
on ESPN.
They didn't pick like top 20 home run hitters. Like Alec Bohm is not top 15 of it. Yeah, those guys are not the biggest home run hitters at all.
There's other things they can do, to fill time. I mean, they could have they have that celebrity softball game. Why don't they just play it on Monday night and put it on live? Have an old-timer softball game.
I'm with you. They're not thinking outside the box there. They are just making this thing excruciating long. I was likening last night. I'm like, this is like when you're reading a bad book, but you just have to stick around to the end to find out who the killer is. And it's like... I almost just want to flip ahead to the end. Just tell me who did it, you know? And then it turns out there was this twist at the end, and it was actually kind of exciting.
I went to it in 2013 at Citi Field. I couldn't wait to leave. It was boring. So Hernandez beat Royal shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. in the final. He became the first Dodger to win home run derby. Tonight's the All-Star Game, National League against the American League. Pirates rookie Paul Skenes gets the start for the National League.
Those big folks of the offseason, and, obviously... Being here now, I think that's just a product of doing it one day at a time and having good coaches and good people around me. I didn't necessarily think I'd be here.
Yeah, it's a good thing that Major League Baseball did. At least they have some juice about him getting the start tonight.
Yeah, so watch the first couple minutes of that.
That's it. Corbin Burns of the Orioles will start for the American League first pitch, 8 o'clock Eastern time. The United States men's basketball team beat Australia 98-92 in an exhibition game. Anthony Davis had 17 points, 14 rebounds. Clippers forward Kawhi Leonard, not selected for Team USA because of his knee injury. Clippers president of basketball operations, Lawrence Frank, was not happy about it.
I was, quite frankly, very disappointed with the decision. Kawhi wanted to play. We wanted him to play. I was there the first two practices. He looked very good. Participated, was a full participant in everything that they did. I wasn't there for the third practice where ultimately that was the point where they decided to go in a different direction.
Explain this to me. I don't understand this. Why Lawrence Frank is just outright lying? Like, is this just to pacify Kawhi Leonard? Like, I don't understand. What front office or GM member in their right mind would want their players playing for the Olympic team.
Coming off a knee injury.
He missed playoff games because of it. You just gave him $100 and however million. Like this, I don't get the lie.
And he doubled down.
I expressed to them, I really wish that they would have given Kawhi more time. You know, we have the benefit of having been around Kawhi for 5 years to see his body and see where he's at. So, you know, he looked good to me. I know all the sacrifices he made in order to make this commitment to the Olympics. So it was very disappointing.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, if it was a Knicks player coming off of a knee surgery, I don't want him anywhere near the Olympics.
Perloff, if you were worried about Team USA watching him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they look old and slow already. So to have an injured Kawhi, I mean, would be amazing. I'm rooting against him. That's so unpatriotic. I feel terrible. But
you've made your stance. You're Team Canada.
It'd be the best content ever to see LeBron lose this thing. He is so methodical and slow out there right now.
I didn't watch the game. I only saw the highlights. How bad was it? Because people are talking about how it looked really, really like Joel Embiid didn't look good.
Embiid is not designed for like an all-star game. So LeBron was screwing around. He was playing like he was the Harlem Globetrotters game. He was just trying to make fancy passes. But he's definitely like, there's younger, faster guys coming up and down the court. Like, here's my question. If you're the USA team, do you play the old guys out of duty because they've earned it? Or like, are you actually going to play 40-year-old LeBron, injured Kevin Durant, 36-year-old Curry, who's still pretty good, injured Joel Embiid? Like, or are you going to play? There was one player like who said Jason Tatum was the best player on the court by 10 miles. Like, you got to put Tatum, Anthony Edwards, like, you got to go, Booker, maybe, yeah, but you got to go the young guys, yeah. Or because if you play those old guys, you're vulnerable.
I think they're the ones calling the shots. Like,
yeah,
I
know,
LeBron
kind of
runs this team just like he runs every team that he's on.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Like, that they would be vulnerable because they want to get everybody minutes too. That's a whole thing. Like, if you're how do you like put the best team out there when you have to honor these players? They're even talking about honoring Kawhi, who's on half a leg. Like, you know what? I don't know how you're going to do this. Like, are you going to play Kevin Durant for 20 minutes,
well,
even though
he's
injured?
This is why you have to. The coach is actually matters here because Steve Kerr should have the clout and the gravitas to say, "I'm playing this person. I'm not playing this person." That's why it has to be Coach K, Greg Popovich, and Kerr. You can't just throw any person out there because they'll get steamrolled by the players.
That's a great point, but hypothetically, what if LeBron really is not effective? Would you pull him in key moments for Jason Tatum? That's hard to do.
I think it will be more memorable if they lose the gold than it will be that LeBron wasn't maybe on the court in crunch time against, you know, Serbia.
Yeah. So, yeah, but you have to have a lot of gravitas to pull LeBron. I think it'll all work out. I mean, they obviously are a very talented team, but there is a scenario where Australia kept going up and down the court. And they were just like younger and faster than the U.S. team.
Yeah, the coaches should have a say, but ultimately,
we know.
But it's not like Kerr is LeBron's coach in the NBA, so he should be able to have some sort of say over the roster. Plus, his track record would dictate that.
By the way, let me just say, LeBron was also awesome too. I mean,
he's still great.
He backed down some poor Australian guy who had no prayer against him. So it's just hard when you have a team and you have to split up them. The Australian guys played all their players and U.S. wasn't really trying. It's going to be hard. That's a good point. Like, Steve Kerr's got some work to do here. Who was it last time? Was it still Coach K or Popovich?
I think it was Popovich.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a hard job. I would not want that job because you're going to have to tell somebody who's amazing to sit down. Now, what they're talking about with Kawhi, I don't totally understand, right?
It makes no sense. Yeah. I like Lawrence Frank. This is an outright lie. What else we got, Peter? Anything else?
Just going to close with football. The Browns and kicker Dustin Hopkins reportedly agree on a 3-year deal worth $15.9 million.
Nicest guy in the entire NFL. If you ever get to meet Dustin Hopkins, literally the single nicest guy.
Wow. What makes him so jovial?
I met him through Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Because we were on Washington together, of all teams, I think. Anyway, and I met him before. He is just a very friendly guy. And people in Cleveland love him for some reason last year. Like, he became a bit of a cult hero.
You're a kicker. You've got to be on a different plane.
You got to be a nice guy, too. Like, you can't be a jerk at a kicker, right?
I was Sebastian Janikowski a nice guy?
Yeah, he was a jerk.
I think
Butker, obviously.
Vanderjack. Yeah, Butker's got his detractors.
Well, Adam Vinatieri seems like the sweetest person. Have you ever seen an interview with Adam Vinatieri?
Well, I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame, so I at this point, I'd probably be very sweet. You've got to have a different kind of mentality. I don't think I'd be suited for kicker. I'm a little too, I the losses would stay with me too much. I don't think I could just put it behind me.
Well, my point was, like, you got to have some humility as a kicker because you're on this team of incredible athletes and you are not an incredible athlete. It's like Pippa going out there with the Jets. I think you would be, you would have a
he
certain amount of humility because
no.
You, yeah. Yes, you're right. You have to have, you know, what is the expression? Ice water in your veins.
Sure.
But yeah, I think you should be a nice guy because if you're like 5'10 and you weigh 160 pounds, you're not going in and being a big guy in the locker room.
Justin Tucker's a really nice guy, too. Years ago at the Super Bowl,
lovely.
I had a chance to spend some time with him covering the Super Bowl, and he was really nice to talk to.
Yeah, he's a great interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, then again, you're right. Then there's some controversial ones.
It's a mixed bag. 855-212-4227. Peter, thank you so much. Coming up, we are breaking down the AFC South today. Perloff and I are moving through every NFL division before training camp opens up. So today, the AFC South is in our sights. And to be honest, a division that used to be an afterthought that has gotten a lot more interesting. So stay tuned. About our colleague Boomer Esiason saying when there's a lot of smoke, there's fire. Do we have Boomer's cut, by the way, Pete? We do, right? Do we have Boomer's audio from yesterday on WFAN talking about the Jets' interest in Davante Adams?
I'm hearing that this is going to happen, if it does happen, somewhere in late August, early September.
Really?
Yeah, and the cap hit for him is $25 million.
Why would it take that long?
I'm not sure about why it would take that long, but Devontae's never going to come out publicly and say, I want to leave the Raiders. But you do hear in this wide receiver program where he does this, I got to get out of here before I get killed.
Mm.
I mean, he says that, you know, and that leads you to believe, leads the viewer to believe that he wants out of Oakland. But I don't see him saying that publicly. I don't see him going to the media and saying, get me out of here. I can see him saying to his agent, much like he did it to Green Bay, the same type of thing.
There you go. So obviously met Las Vegas there. But you know what? The idea is this is going to be why it may take so long is because this is not going to be an outright, hey, please trade me. It's going to be more back channels. It's going to have to be probably the Raiders going out and shopping this around to see if they can get a better deal from somewhere else. And then the Jets would have to top it. All these things go into the mix.
But why didn't it happen in the offseason? I'm still kind of confused about all that.
You know, I think that maybe the public perception of this changed because of that receiver show.
Right. But why didn't, if he was so unhappy, like why wouldn't they move on in March?
Well, maybe I have no idea, but perhaps it's now that the receiver show is out there and it's on Netflix, if you haven't seen it, it's like could be viewed as a distraction. I mean, you're going to have a lot of players when the Raiders show up for training camp are going to be asked about this, right? Definitely the quarterbacks, definitely Antonio Pierce, the head coach. I mean, it's like the biggest thing going on with the Raiders is that Davante Adams, you know, is clearly like much more upset behind the scenes than we ever thought last year. And granted, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, but not everybody's gone.
Yeah, I mean, he got traded. Last time he got traded was March, and Tyreek Hill got traded in March. So my only counter is, if he's that miserable, he would ask for a trade and be gone already.
Maybe. George is in Los Angeles, is on the Maggie and Perloff show. Good morning, George.
What's going on, guys? Good morning. I think this is going to be a trade, but I think it'd be more like a third-round pick. But there's another reason I think also. I think the Raiders still in some financial trouble. I heard rumors that Bank of America might own them now, so that other guy with the weird haircut. But anyway, good to talk to you guys this morning, and take care.
George, thank you.
But why
the guy with the weird haircut, you mean Mark Davis?
Yeah. Why would you do a third-round pick? Because don't you get a third-round comp pick if he leaves? Like, actually, I mean, like, third-round pick, are they going to do that? Is that what this is all going to boil down to in, like November? Hey, here's a third-round pick for Davante Adams. I'll give up a third-round pick for Davante Adams. I'll draft in the Maggie and Perloff show for a third-round pick.
He can cut tape for us. I think that's the interesting part.
We need it.
We're down bodies around here.
Who's that tall guy in the bullpen?
Perloff's cutting tape? What? Yeah.
We'd love it. You can do our social. We got Cap. We don't need him. But here's the thing. It's like, if you have, you're right, a third round pick does sound a little ridiculous, even though he's 32 years old. So that's going to mean a lot of teams would be involved. If you're the GM, Tom Telesco, you know that the more teams who could likely be interested, the higher the price is going to go. And again, you underestimate the Jets. Like, there is a real desperation here, and they want to make everything right for Rodgers. And I think they'd be willing to mortgage a pick in the future to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if the Jets gave up a first-round pick, that'd be before the season. If the Jets are good and they do it at the trade deadline, that's fine. But, like, it's just like, can you do, like, the NBA and protect that? Top 10 protected? Yeah, I don't think you can.
No.
So, like, that's a, man, if the Jets call the Raiders, that's very intriguing. But if Rodgers is healthy, that pick will probably stink. So, I don't know. It's a tough thing. I bet you we should do, like, some big bet on this. Like,
on
Will
Devine Adams?
Yes. I would take the side that he'll be there the rest of the year, just based on the fact that, like, he's still there. Like, there's got to be something drawing. I think it's that beautiful house cutting in the mountains in Nevada. And I think it's his kids are probably like their schools. You say, it's only 6 months, go to New York. I don't know. Like, Jersey, like, the real estate taxes, is he really going to want to deal with all that? A lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
He seemed like he was a real serious parent. Like, he's not going to want to be away from his kids for 6 months. And there's no way his wife, based on that Netflix show, is going to move his family to New Jersey for 6 months.
I just want to try to get Devontae Adams' career earnings to see how he could make this work. Let's see. Hold on. What do you think he's made in his entire career while I find it?
$100 million? Actually, I'm not sure. Receivers didn't get paid. Definitely. Like, he's on, like, I think he has like a $100 million deal now. So it's probably $100.
Why can I find this so easily? Okay, career earnings. You're close. $112.2 million.
Yeah, I mean, in New Jersey, that'll get you like that'll get you a three bedroom.
Man, you're not that far off.
But you don't think that I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Like, you don't think moving your family is a big deal for that short period of time.
I don't. I think that people make it work. I think people who have lesser means have to make it work. And I think, you know, Devontae Adams, the one thing I'm also taking from the receiver show is I think the dude is locked in on football. Like, this is his, you know, sometimes you wonder how much guys care. This dude definitely cares. He cares about his legacy. We talked about him being on the Hall of Fame track. And can he keep that up while he's catching passes from Aiden O'Connell? I get the sense, and I don't think it's just putting on for show. I really get the sense that he is this all-in type of receiver. I think you have to be at the NFL level. But moving cross-country for 6 months to try to go win a Super Bowl, I think is a small-ish sacrifice to make for professional athletes.
I think the only reason he's there now is because of lifestyle and family. Otherwise, he'd been gone already. I mean, he would have said in the offseason, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, he still has AOC as his quarterback. Like, there's no, I mean, probably, unless Aiden O'Connell, they kept calling him AOC in the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing's changed, and he's still wearing that Raiders jersey. So I wonder, I think it's family and West Coast, and, you know, that. Why did he leave? He left for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this guy is not, he left Aaron Rodgers to go join a team that hadn't won a playoff game in 25 years. It's clearly winning is not the only thing.
Well, that was a very specific example where he was joining his college quarterback. Like,
right,
that,
well, he wasn't joining the best team. He was joining his buddy.
Right, but I think they had this delusion in their head, him and Derek Carr had this delusion in their head that, hey, we're going to team up in the pros and we're going to be so incredible. Remember we had David Carr on when we were still in the afternoon, NFL Network analyst, and he said, if we only knew the goals that Devontae and Derek had, like, I forgot how he put it, he's like, we'd be blown away. Like, they were planning on setting passing records and all that stuff, and it never ended up working out. So there was another reason why he went to Vegas.
I just think there's more to it. Otherwise, he'd be gone already. I think he loves it there. By the way, why not? Did you see how many levels that house had? It was awesome.
This is all these real estate shows you've been watching or getting into your head.
100,000%.
Oh, man. Okay, coming up, we will do some very important business around here, and that is updating the Simpsons region of the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.